The Lord be with you. Good morning and welcome to worship on this Mother's Day Sunday, this rainy Sunday, and Youth Sunday. We are blessed to have you with us today. It is good to be together in the house of the Lord. There are a few announcements in the bulletins, some meetings, and things that are taking place this week in the life of the church. Please take note of those as they apply to you. Today is also Blanket Sunday, and after worship, members of Presbyterian Women and the deacons will be in the fellowship hall, and they will have note cards there, and you can purchase a blanket in memory or in honor of someone. Blankets are $10, and these are purchased through Church World Service and distributed throughout the world to people who are in need of a blanket at some time. Names of those who donate and the people that you donate in honor or memory of will be listed in the bulletin next Sunday, so you are invited to purchase and to give to this worthy cause as well. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice together and be glad in it as we worship God.
All who are able, please stand and join me in the call to worship. The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Alleluia. The Lord is risen indeed.
This is the good news by which we are saved.
On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead.
Let us worship God.
The fact is, we are all sinners, and we need to confess our sins to God together. Let us pray. Loving God, your Son Jesus calls us friends and commands us to love one another. So often we fail. We confuse loving one another with liking one another. When we cannot like one another, we give up on loving. We smile falsely and speak ill of others. O God, have mercy on us. Secure in your love, help us to love one another. Now hear the good news. Those who trust in God will renew their strength. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not grow faint. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
Just as God has forgiven us in Jesus Christ, let us also forgive one another and offer signs of peace and reconciliation. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us pray together that God's Holy Spirit will show us the word God has for each of us today. Let us pray. Holy One, giver of all light, lift up our hearts and minds to Christ, the morning star that never fades. By the light of your Holy Spirit, reveal us your saving, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Will the children please come forward? So today we're talking about being thankful.
So what are you thankful for, Claire?
Family.
Family, yes.
Well, you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for friends and family, and of course, mac and cheese.
Yes, of course, me too. And you know, I'm thankful for good health and ice cream.
In our Bible, there's a story about how Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and saw 10 men with leprosy.
They asked Jesus to have pity on them. And Jesus responded with, "Go show yourselves to the priest."
As they all went, they became cleansed.
But only one came back to say thank you.
Jesus was confused to why only one of them had come back, but Jesus made sure to tell him that his faith made him well.
Just like the man that came back to say thank you to Jesus, we should make sure that we believe that Jesus is always helping us and to be thankful for that.
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for all the things you do for us, for always believing that we deserve to be healed and taken care of. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our first lesson is from Luke 17, 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all cleansed? Were all the other nine? He has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner." Then he said to him, "Raise and go and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord.
The second lesson reading today will be selections from Job chapters 38 through 42. When many terrible things happened to God's servant, Job turned to God with a lot of questions. He wondered why all these bad things had happened to him. Suddenly, from a whirlwind, God answered Job with even more questions to remind Job the greatness of creation. "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who laid its cornerstone when all the morning stars sang together and the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Have you commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place? Did you see me lay the boundaries of the seas? Where does light live? Can you show darkness the way home? Who tells the clouds to pour out water and sees that even the desert can produce grass? Have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Who has given birth to the frost of heaven? Does lightning listen to you? Who has the wisdom to number the clouds? Can you hunt prey for the lions? Who provides food for the raven? Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Who has let the wild donkey go free? Do you give the horse its strength? Is it by your wisdom that the hawk soars or that the eagle mounts up and makes its nest on high? Speak. Anyone who argues with God must answer. Job said, there is nothing I can say. I cannot answer your questions. God spoke to Job from the whirlwind. Can you thunder with a voice like mine? Do you wear glory and splendor as I do? Look at the behemoth, a large creature that I made. Only I can approach it. Can you catch a large animal with a fish hook? Can you put it on a leash? Who can confront it and stay safe? Job thought about all that God could do and said, I know that you can do all things. I have talked about things that I don't understand. I had heard you, but now my eye sees you. This is the word of the Lord. When we lose a lot of things, we are mad or confused. When we lose a lot of things, we are mad or confused with God. We have to turn and ask him why. We have to trust in God for his answer, though. We cannot answer for him. He has an answer planned for every one of us. Job is a book in the Bible that talks about this. In Job, we are told the story of a man who is blameless and upright. Yet Job suffers. He loses all of his possessions, and his family dies in one day. He becomes ill. This happens even though he does not sin against God. Why does this happen to him? I think everyone asks themselves this question in life eventually. Maybe because something happens to them, or maybe when they see the suffering of others. Near the end of Job, chapters 38 through 42, God gives Job an answer. It was not the answer Job was expecting. Instead of answering and giving a clear explanation, God asked a lot of questions, which still answered Job. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Have you ever given orders to the morning? Do you watch when the mountain goats give birth? Job then says his eye sees God. So what was the meaning of this? I believe is that you have to be able to pray and turn to God to understand him. This happens many times throughout the Bible where people ask God why something happened to them, and God's response helps them, and then they understand him more than they ever did. Now when I say understand, I mean to the best of their ability. We can never truly get God and why he does everything. When Joe had said his eyes see God, he did not mean he physically sees him. There was something else. This is because you must go through the bad to understand the good. Many of us in this church have gone through a bad time or day. We do not always end up praying or asking God why. We either accept the day for what it is, or maybe sometimes even put the blame on God. One time, though, we may turn and pray or ask God. Not every time we will get the answer, though, that will help us see God. Many times we will formulate our own answer and not let him answer. This is what keeps us away from seeing him. We do not trust him or want to listen to him. Maybe this is because we're scared of the answer he'll give us, or maybe we're just simply not ready. But there will be one time when you will receive an answer from God that makes you see him, just like Job did. This will not always be the same answer as Job received, though, but it will be the one where you have the realization that Job had. To have this moment, we must let God answer with what he needs to say. If you do this, we will see him. I have asked God why bad things happen to me and let him answer, but I still never had this happen to me yet. Why is this? Maybe it is because a big enough event hasn't happened to me yet. I believe that it is because everybody will have this happen to them when God plans it to happen. This doesn't mean that any one of us is greater or better than another because this happened to us already or if we have received it earlier. We're all different. We will all receive this, but just at different times. This again does not mean that we have to be like Job and lose everything we had, but I also don't think it can be as simple as losing a penny you dropped. Something is going to light the spark that makes us ask God. It could be on any day, at any time. It could be over something that happened 5 years ago or something that happened 10 seconds ago. That's what we don't know, when we will receive the answer from God that makes us clearly see him. And I don't think it's necessarily praying to God either, because we're not asking of something or wishing well on someone. We're asking a question, and God is talking to us in a conversation. But it's somewhere in that area of praying and hearing God. The biggest thing is that we can't answer for him again. Many of us give ourselves our own answer and cheat God and ourselves. Maybe we won't always get the answer. This might anger us. I know it. I get angry by this. But we can't always expect to be answered. Sometimes having no answer is what we need. But we still have to pray and ask God questions. He will be there for us and guide us in all different ways. So we have to stay with him to be there when he does answer our prayers or questions. God has a different plan for all of us, but we will all end up asking him this question in life. God will give us the answer we need to see him clearly. In the end, it all depends on God's decision for you and what he has planned. Amen.
Tony and I thought it would be helpful to a little bit to talk about confirmation process and the things that we all think about different times. The confirmation class this year, they are an amazing group of young people who are so busy, I've never been able to get all nine of them together in one place at one time. They are busy young people. They are also deep theologians. No matter how many times you tell a youth to read slowly, clearly, sometimes they're not that good at it. So I want you to hear this one line from Darian's sermon that I have thought about and touched me so deeply. We all ask God the question, why? Why? But sometimes we don't let God answer. We answer. And in doing so, we cheat God and cheat ourselves. Darian, I thought that was one of the deepest theological thoughts I have heard in a long time. Don't listen, Tony. For sermons for a long time. So I want you to know I will carry that with me for a long time. As I carry, I'm the person who puts my grocery cart away. I won't forget that sermon either. So Tony, you also had the opportunity of teaching these young people. How about some words from you?
We both taught part of the class. I taught the part on the sacraments, which was 4 weeks, which was probably enough for all of them to deal with me. Debbie's a lot more fun, and she helps them to think much more deeply than I do, obviously. But in talking about the sacraments, we remember that in baptism, we are claimed by God. God puts a claim on our lives and welcomes us into the community of faith, into the new covenant community of faith. And so over these past months, these young people in this class, they've been learning and growing and maturing in their faith that began at their baptisms, many of them right there at that very font. And they are getting close to an important milestone, a milestone in their faith as they prepare to become full members of this church. So we all have milestones in our lives. There are all kinds of different milestones. We have graduations and jobs and marriages and moves and deaths and all sorts of milestones. Some are big, some are smaller, but many of them are big and we remember them. They stick with us throughout all our lives. So we're having a little conversation. So Debbie, what are some of the important milestones in your life, and how has your faith been a part of those milestones?
Well, milestones in our lives are not always moments we celebrate. They can also be moments of great grief and loss and tragedy. My divorce was a milestone for me. It had a deep impact on my faith. It was a time when I learned I needed to lean on God. I needed to lean on my personal relationship with Jesus and the support and love of the congregation I was in at that time, which was St. James Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsburg. These are anchors, these are milestones, and they held me in place through tears and anger, through uncertainty and financial difficulties, to figuring out how to be a single parent and to help me assist my children in growing in their relationship and their time with God. So milestones are maybe moments of celebration, but they can also be moments of great grief and loss. Tony, a milestone that you were thinking of.
I was thinking about these young people and how they're in the next few years going to face lots of changes in their lives, going from home to college perhaps, or joining the workforce or military. Big changes. And I was thinking about that in my own life, and one of the biggest milestones and changes was when I went from college to seminary. College was not all that far from my family and my hometown for me, and it was a familiar place, but seminary was far away in a completely different culture almost.
New Jersey.
I mean, yes. Very different from Ohio. Suddenly I was all these hundreds and hundreds of miles from home and family in a different part of the country where you have to turn right to turn left. Ask me about that later if you don't know about jug handles in New Jersey. But while I was there, I knew and I believed that it was what God wanted me to do, that God was calling me to go to seminary to become a pastor. So it was hard to leave all that behind, but I knew it was what God wanted, and that's when my faith really sustained me and helped me to grow. I was trying to be faithful and found that in trying to be faithful, God is always, always, always faithful to us. God is always there and faithful to us, even when we struggle with that. It's not just the big milestones, though. It's not just the big changes and the big things that happen in our life when God is present. God is also with us every day in the little stuff, the mundane stuff, the everyday normal stuff. Debbie, where do you experience God in everyday life?
Probably where I experience God most in my everyday life is in my prayer life. I start each morning praying and reading the Bible, normally a psalm. And when I come to work, I very rarely turn on the radio, but I pray that God gives me a good day. Obviously, this morning I didn't pray that because the confirmation class saw me ugly as we started this. So I obviously didn't pray quite well enough on my way to church today. But that's what our normal day is like. We pray that we hear the good things. We pray that maybe through our ugliness, through our sinfulness, that we hear God in our everyday life. And I've had a new moment in my life. We had a prayer study group that met here at during Lent. And one of the things we prayed was that we prayed the hours. And since that time, I have set my phone at noon every day for an alarm to go off. And I pray every day at noon, no matter what I'm doing. I pray for our church, I pray for the people in our prayer community. And that has brought me just a bit closer to God. Just that moment when the little chime goes off on my cell phone and I say, stop and pray. How about you, Pastor Tony? Where do you see God in the everyday?
It might sound a little strange, but every time I walk through this alley behind the church, which many of you do, coming to church, coming to meetings, going home, every time I walk through that alley behind the church, whether it's in the morning, or if I'm going someplace in the middle of the day, or if I'm going home at the end of the day, or after a meeting, I look at the walls of this church, these incredibly thick, heavy limestone walls, and I always look up and I see the tower as well, and I am reminded that God is my rock in the midst of whatever is going on, good day, bad day. God is my rock. The psalmist says in a familiar psalm, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And I'm reminded that God made these stones. God made these stones long before someone quarried them and cut them and lifted up these walls and put them into place. But God made these stones. And it might seem strange to experience God in a bunch of rocks put into a building. But that's always what I think about when I walk through that alley. And I have say a little prayer of thanksgiving, of gratitude for being here, for all of you, and for the ministry that we share together. And the ministry that we have shared over many different generations. And as a new generation is preparing to join this church, this confirmation class that's been working so hard for so many months, I was thinking about my own confirmation and wondering what you remember about your confirmation, Debbie, and how your faith has grown and changed, how it's different today than it was just a few years ago when you were confirmed.
Just a few. Here's the blatantly honest statement. I don't remember my confirmation day. I remember I was raised in the Roman Catholic tradition. I remember my first Holy Communion, because it was a big deal. And we all got to dress like little brides, and you know, the veil went on, the fancy shoes, and the bishop was, stop laughing, Laura. When I said fancy shoes, it wasn't the start of my fancy shoe life, but. And the bishop was coming, and was I going to drop the host? What was going to happen? Oh, a nervous wreck. And also knowing that my grandmother, who had just passed away a few months before then, who had taken me to church all the time, that she would be there in spirit. So I remember very little. In fact, I remember I was confirmed in Westminster Presbyterian Church in Wilkes-Barre, but I can remember nothing of that day. But I remember my first Holy Communion and the joy and excitement of feeling like I truly now was a member of God's family. Tony, do you remember your confirmation?
I do. I was in eighth grade. There were only two of us in the class I grew up in a very small church, and there were only two of us, and it was intense. I scared these guys when I told them about my class, because we met every Saturday from 9 until noon for 7 months. Every Saturday, 9 to noon, so don't ever complain about this. She let you off easy. I think about that experience every so often. When I was in confirmation, I know I took it very seriously, and I thought I knew what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. I thought I knew all about it. And I suppose I did in some sense, but I know that in the years that have followed, that I've grown and learned so much more. Now, that doesn't mean there haven't been hard times. There have been plenty of times when I wanted to ask why, as we all have experienced in our life. There were times when I didn't feel very close to God, times when it was hard to pray. We all have times like that. But those times when our faith is challenged, those are times to hold on to the faith and to hold on to the fact that God is faithful to us, that God is always faithful to us.
Speaking of faithful to us, we heard the story of Job this morning. Did you have any insights into Job you'd like to share?
Nothing as profound as what Darian said, because Job is a hard, hard story. My guess is that if you've ever tried to read Job, you've struggled with that story, struggled with it mightily. I took an entire class on the book of Job in seminary. One book, an entire semester-long class, and I still can't say that I really understand it. But the thing that always strikes me about Job is that on the one hand, he knows what he believes, but on the other hand, he remains incredibly humble and teachable and realizes that he does not know everything. And I think that if we can take that sense of knowing what we believe, but also having humility and use that in our lives, hold on to that in our lives, all of us, not just young people, but old people as well, that we will become people who know God much more deeply. Hold on to faith, but also to remain open to learning and growing and finding new ideas, new ways of understanding faith as well. We also heard from Luke a story about 10 lepers who are healed, but only one comes back. Only one comes back to Jesus to say thank you. What's important in that story? Debbie, what's important about gratitude, thankfulness?
I think in the Luke story, use it as a metaphor. In our life, we are given 10 times 10 things to be thankful for every day. And sometimes we forget to be thankful for even one. So I am thankful today for this confirmation class. I want you to know that each one of them chose their prayer, their confirmation statements, their children's sermon, these are the scriptures that they chose, that they did it. They are the ones who did it, not me. You and God chose these things. So I want you to know, and I am thankful for that. Also in our confirmation class, one of the things we do that is very important is that each one of them gets to choose or gets to imagine, dream, work through, pray for what we call our core belief. What is the one thing that you hang on to? My core belief comes from John 10:18, that Jesus came here of his own accord. Jesus came to earth because Jesus loves us. Jesus came to earth and died and suffered because Jesus loves us. Jesus came because Jesus wants to. We now will have the pleasure of hearing what each of these young people's core belief is and the thing or two from which they are thankful.
I believe that Jesus always forgives, and I am thankful for my family and Taco Bell.
I believe that we are all made in the image of God, and I'm thankful for the goodness in the world and frogs.
I believe that there is a heaven and a hell, and I am thankful for music and cartoons.
I believe that we'll all receive miracles every day, whether it's 10 or just one, and I'm thankful for the congregation that can always back me up and memes.
I believe that God loves all of us, and that I'm thankful for my friends and potatoes, like mashed potatoes and baked potatoes.
I believe that Jesus is always there for us and is always with us, and I am thankful for a good education and Birkenstocks, also known as Jesus Cruisers.
I believe that God answers all our prayers, whether yes or no, whether a day after or a year after. And I am thankful for freedom of religion in this beautiful United States and Chipotle.
I believe that God created all of the earth in 7 days, and I am thankful for this creation. And I'm also thankful for llamas. Now let us all stand and affirm what we believe using the Apostles' Creed.
God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated.
Please join me in for the prayers of the people. God, our Creator, you made all things in your wisdom, and in your love you save us. We pray for the whole creation. Overthrow evil powers, right what is wrong, feel and satisfy those who thirst for justice, so that all your children may freely enjoy the earth you have made and joyfully sing your praises, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we let us show God our appreciation, giving our time, talents, and treasures. May the ushers come forward. Thank you.
together the prayer of thanksgiving. O most generous God, accept the praise of our lips, the gratitude of our hearts, and these gifts from your world as a response to your abundant grace and mercy. With these gifts, enable us to be healers and messengers carrying the virtue, wholeness, justice, and love into the world. Amen.
Words for this week. May the Lord bless you and take care of you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. And may the Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen.